All right. Well, good to see you all. And right before I get to my message, I just want to say that if you're here for the first or second time, we are so glad that you're here. Okay? And just for coming, we have a special gift for you. So inside of your bulletin, there's a guest card. If you can fill it out, fold it in two, pass it to the front, we will send you a gift card to Caribou. We'll do Caribou or something. You'll get something. I know there's a whole box in my office of different type of things, like Bagel Boy and someplace I don't even know. So we'll surprise you, okay? So if you have it, please fill it out. We would just love to, you know, have a connection with you. And you'll have it by Thursday. I have two announcements. We're planning our first water baptism service of 2010, and that's going to be in March. And there's, I think, around five people that already signed up for it. And just excited what God is doing in people's life. And water baptism is going public with your faith. You know, a lot of you, when we make a salvation call, we just ask you to raise your hand. Nobody sees it. Kind of private. But water baptism is when a person says, okay, I'm not ashamed anymore. I don't care if my neighbors know, my family know. I'm actually going to invite everybody so everybody knows how I feel about Jesus. And the vision of this church is to bring people closer to Jesus. And you know, we were all far away from God. And because of Jesus Christ, we were brought close to Him. And now we have a relationship with Him. That doesn't mean we're better. It really doesn't mean that we're better than everybody else. It just means that we have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ and His blood. Now, second thing, growth groups have started. Anybody here goes to a growth group? Let me hear you. All right. All right. And we're kind of recapping everything. I had to go back in my thoughts, and I had to go back to the beginning and say, God, why did we plant this church here in Sioux Falls? And the reason we did it, because we loved the lost. We loved to see people who are far from God into having a close relationship with Jesus. And we loved to see the lives that were changed because of that. Amen? How many of you know that when you come to Jesus, He doesn't really call us when we're perfect. He actually doesn't really like to call, based on my experience, people who are perfect. He likes to call the broken, messed up, busted and disgusted, as Jake says. But He likes to call people who are not perfect. And then He likes to do something with them. And then after a while, you look at them, you're like, wow, I really love what God has done in you. Amen. And on Sundays, that's what we do. We come and celebrate because during the week we might not see each other, but we come and celebrate what God has been doing the whole week, the whole month, the whole year. Amen? Hallelujah. So growth groups this year is focusing on that one thing. Jesus Christ didn't come to make us rich, you know, so much. He didn't come to make our life comfortable. Number one thing Jesus came to do is to save the lost. And how many of you know that we want to be like Jesus? And if that was His number one purpose, then we want to do that. I want to make it my purpose. I've chased my life after money, and when I got it, it's not what it seems. You can chase your life after glory, and when you get it, it's not what it seems. When you find God, He'll make those other things enjoyable. It's true. When you find God, He doesn't say don't seek those other things. He says find me first. I'll make you enjoy those things. I won't make Him bite you in a behind. If you search for those other things, they'll bite you. All right. Well, today we're continuing on our series. And the series is called Happy Endings. Amen. We all desire happy ending. It's not the beginning so much that determines the success of a person. It's the ending. Many people start many things. We've seen people start in business and not finish, or start in a relationship that didn't finish well, and it's not really a good feeling. We like to forget. We like to bury those things, and for good reasons. That didn't finish well. But finishing well is a good thing. And God wants you to have a great finish. David didn't start that well. His parents forgot him, but he finished pretty good.
full of days.
Joseph didn't really have a good beginning. He was in prison. Maybe some of you feel like you're in prison of some sort in your life. And in Job it says, although your beginning is insignificant, your end will greatly increase. That's what God loves to do. God loves to take insignificant and make it good. Amen. Now today is a Valentine's Day, so obviously I had to make this message be Valentine's-y, kind of. I know some of you here are kind of bitter about Valentine's Day. What I wanted to do was not only preach to those who are married and you know, all smiling and you know, they got flowers, but I want to talk to everybody today. I want to make sure that those who are in relationships and those who are not in relationships are going to get pinched by the Holy Spirit today. Now, if you really feeling pinched, it might be a neighbor. I'm talking being pinched a little bit on the inside. And if you're pinching your neighbor, stop, because that's like judging. So don't pinch anybody, okay? Just let the Holy Spirit do the work. The message is going to do its thing. Hallelujah. So today, I want to preach on the most famous verse in the world. Help me out. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. That's the most famous. Everybody knows it. I want you to understand today, out of that verse, the capacity of love. That's my message. The capacity of love and the happy ending will be connected to it. Now, you'll have to follow me really close to understand this, because when I woke up today, I was going to preach 4 points on God's love. By the time I was done, I couldn't finish one. Okay, so I'm not going to preach 4 points out of four. I'm going to preach 1 point. What I did was I took that verse, John 3:16, and I divided it in four. Four principles of love in John 3:16. But I will only preach on one. Okay? Just one. I want to keep it short. My wife said, short and sweet. I don't know if it's going to be short. And I don't know if it's going to be sweet. So I just apologize ahead. Let's just focus on the first phrase. For God so loved the world. Interesting thing is, when we quote that scripture, we think that God loved people, that he gave his one and only Son. But notice in that scripture, it does not say, for God so loved the people. It would make it simpler. Because kind of now, the way the verse is complicated. Doesn't make sense. For God so loved the world that he gave his Son, so whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. How can world and people and believing make sense there? It really kind of is confusing at the beginning, although it's so simple. I know, I'm going to make it confusing. And then I'm going to make it simple again. Hallelujah. So, it doesn't say that God so loved the earth. Does it? It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. So what is the world? Obviously, it's not people. We cannot claim and say, Pastor, it's people. It's all about people, Pastor. No, it's... So, but does God love people? Yes, he does. That's for sure. God loves people. But in this scripture, it does not only talk about people. For God so loved the world. It's bigger than people. I thought it was all about people. Yeah, God loves people. But he also loves bigger. His capacity for love is bigger. I've been in a place where I said, God, if I love this, I can't love this anymore. But this scripture convicted me, because we were created in the image of God. And if God has an ability to love the world, he doesn't just love you, but then he can't love the lilies of the field. Bible says he does. He loves you and the grass of the field. He loves the fish. He loves the stars. He loves everything, and yet he loves you. Notice the capacity. Now, what is the world? The world is everything. The world is divided into kingdoms. Right? Now, when Jesus was tempted, devil came to him and tried to offer him something Jesus wanted. Devil didn't offer Jesus something he didn't want. He usually never tempts you with something you don't want. If you're not attracted to something, Satan will not tempt you with it. Amen? If a guy is not attracted to a girl, Satan will not go and make him lust after. Come on. Can I go any deeper? No. Okay. Well, Andre says. Andre's like my moral guide here. I mean, it's like, nope. Yes. Okay. Okay, Andre. And so Jesus came to redeem the world because God loved the world, sent his son Jesus for the world. He wanted to retake the world. Remember what Satan says to Jesus. He says, if you bow down and worship me, I will give you all the kingdoms of the world. He says, because they have been handed over to me. Now, let me ask you a question. Who gave Satan the kingdoms of the world? Did God give it to him? No. Did animals give it to him? No. Who? People did. Adam did. And I was in Adam and you were in Adam. So we gave it to. You gave it to him. And God gave it to you. So God so loved the world. Remember it says in Romans, all creation is suffering right now. Animals. Let me show you in Romans chapter 8. It says this. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now. God doesn't only hear the cries of the people. God hears the cry of the land. In the Old Testament, God heard the cry. The ground that received the blood of Abel was making noise coming out of the ground. The blood that is spilled into this world, it groans. It says, God, how long? This is too hard. So does the animal kingdom. So does everything else. They cry out and say, God, this is too hard. And so Satan tempts Jesus and says, bow down and I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. They're mine now. So that's a clue that it wasn't just talking about people. It was talking about something bigger. It was talking about the world. And Jesus came to restore the world to its rightful owners. You. I'm going somewhere. Just be patient with me. Paul says, all things are yours. Heaven, life, death, principalities. Paul says, even I am yours. Everything has been given to the church. But we have to take it. Now, God so loved the world, so what he does is saves people. So how does saving people restores the world? That's where we're going today. Because God loved not only people. Just I want to have you understand. I wanted to expand your capacity to understand love. Because if your love is puny, understanding your capacity to understand love is small, you will love small. The more your mind it just expands to understand love greater. Because you were created in the image of God. And if God is able to love so much, guess what? You are able to love more. And whatever you can love, you can have. Whatever you can love, you can have. You'll get it. Hold on. So, can you have it all? If you can love it all. If you love an animal, it'll come to you. Cats know that I don't like them. So guess what? They just stay away from me. I can't believe that God loves cats. I mean, just... Man, cats just remind me of, especially, you know, I love cool cats. You know, that they come to you and talk, you know, kind of like, hey. And anyway, where am I going with this? Yeah, I can't believe that God loves, but God wants to expand our capacity. I see people, and I'm going to show you this. They're in love with their family, which is great. But I see them miserable in their workplace. Sucks. That's not. And they're like, how can I do both? See, we have a greater capacity for love than we think. Remember, you're created in the image of God. And if you want to have happy endings, if you want to have life to the fullest, then you have to love to the fullest. See, a lot of us, we don't want to love. We just want people to love us. And then we wonder why we're not happy. We wonder why we're not enjoying life to the fullest. Why we're bored. You know why you're bored a lot of times? You don't love to the fullest. So I've seen people, they love their family. But yet their job and their area, because there's many different kingdoms of this world, right? So their family kingdom is great. They love it. But guess what? They have more capacity. But their job suffers. Their career suffers. Remember that God gave Adam a job before he gave him a wife. So it's important to love your job at the same time to love your family. Now, I'm not saying love your job more than a family. But if you love your family but you don't love your job, you're not fulfilled. I've seen people miserable. I've seen marriages broken up because I love my family, but I don't know what I want to do in life. So you see, the capacity is limited, and that's why happiness is limited. For God so loved not only human beings, He loved the world that He gave His Son. Now, doesn't it say in the Bible that if you love the world, you don't have the love of the Father? Yes, loving the world without God is idolatry. But loving the world with God is worship. Let me explain. Jesus said this in Matthew 5. He said, what great thing you're doing if you're loving your brother or people who love you. Unbelievers do that. Now, notice distinction. He makes a believers and unbelievers distinction here. He says unbelievers love those who love them. But their capacity is limited. He says, I want you to enjoy loving your enemy. You will never regret for loving. See, God wants you to love in every area. Just like He loved the world, He wants you to love the world. But loving the world without Him, notice, you become an enemy against Him. But when Jesus Christ comes into you, you are able to love your enemy without other thoughts. You know, sometimes people love enemy for other reasons. Unbelievers don't have this capacity. But when Jesus comes into you, you should be loving on the greater level. You should be loving and enjoying life on such more higher level. And a lot of times we love the ministry and then miss on the family. A lot of times we love the job, but family suffers. We love our kids, but husband or wife suffers. We love one or the other. And God says, no, no, no. You were created in my image. You have capacity to love at all. Bible says that there's three great things. There's hope, there's faith, and there's love. But the love is greater than all of it. Faith is big, can move the mountain. Your love is greater. Faith can raise the dead. But your love is greater. You have a bigger capacity. You have a bigger spirit. Whatever you love, you can have. It's important. It's important to understand because so many families are suffering. So many relationships are suffering. And God wants to put that love inside of you. Actually, if you have Holy Spirit, it's already in there. It needs to be activated. And today, Holy Spirit wants to activate it in you. Hallelujah. Now, there's many kingdoms in this world. Would you agree? Let me read a few that I just came to me. This world is divided into kingdoms, and that's human kingdoms. That's kings, presidents, governors, dictators, warlords, human kingdoms, right? Then there's angelic kingdoms. Angels are divided. There is archangels. Satan was an archangel, one of three. There was Gabriel, the archangel, and Michael, the archangel. So they're divided. Then there's seraphims. Cherubs. That's another category of angels. There's angels with wings. There's angels without wings. And I think there's angels because the angels that came to Abraham, they didn't have any wings. A lot of times when angels appear, they didn't have any wings. However, angels do. There's another category. There's angelic kingdom. There's heavenly kingdom. Like astronomy, right? There's stars, moon, Milky Way, galaxies. Things like that. So notice, God loves angels. God loves human kingdoms. God loves heavenly kingdoms. God loves animal kingdoms, right? He says he cares for a sparrow. Yeah, he cares for that. He cares for lily. He cares for birds of the air. He says, not one bird will fall from their heaven without Father knowing it. Notice the capacity of God. He knows that every hair on your head. He knows it. There's oceanic kingdom. There's mineral kingdom. There's financial kingdom. There is music and arts kingdom. There's politics kingdom. Can God love politicians? Yes. There's judicial kingdom. There's educational kingdom. Listen, none of these things devil created. Hollywood is not something that devil created. Devil doesn't create anything. He just takes it and uses it. And guess what? For God so loved the world, that's including Hollywood. Yes? No? Yeah. That belongs to him. But notice, Satan took it, and yes, God doesn't want to take it back. God wants to give it back to us. All the creation is waiting for revelation of the sons of God. So God says, this is what I'm going to do. I love the world so much. I love all these kingdoms so much. I'm going to save the human because the human being is the crown of his glory. It's the crown of his creation. Human beings are the top. In the Garden of Eden, God says, I give you dominion over all of them. And Adam give it to Satan. And Satan says, Jesus, I'll give it to you. Jesus said, no, I'll get it back myself. I'll die on the cross. I'll go and live in each and every one of them. I'll pay the price. And through them, I'll go back and get those kingdoms and return them to the right owners. And that's his people. So God doesn't so much want the kingdom of ocean kingdom. He already has a beautiful heaven. And probably the rivers up there or lakes up there are just, Bible says, whatever here on earth are only shadow of things to come. So this world is not something God is looking for. I mean, how many of you like your shadow? I mean, just tells you you're walking and yeah, makes it real. But really, shadow is nothing compared to you. It's like me saying, I love your shadow, baby. It's like, what? So God doesn't really want it, but he wants those shadow belongs to the people. He wants that creation, that world. So this is what he does. Sends the Son. Son saves the people. People go back and take the kingdom, the world. And Paul says, everything belongs to you. All of it. But you can only have what you love. That's why evangelism is so important. That's why going and reaching people for Jesus, telling them about the cross and that their sins are forgiven, the good news. Not the law. Why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? Why are you doing that? No, that's not what saves people. It's the good news. That God loves you and he wants to restore you. Plus, he wants to give you your kingdom. Now, I'm not into, you know, biology. So God probably will not restore to me biology. You know, and botanical kingdom. That belongs to somebody who loves that. And they can go and take that kingdom and have dominion in that kingdom. And bring glory to Jesus by discovering great and mighty things that he created. But you have to love it. If I don't love cats, please, you know, I love my wife. See, that's why the cats are there. Anyway, so your capacity and whatever you can love. If you love music, you can have music. If you love business, you can have it. If you love your grandkids, you can have it. If you don't love them, they don't want to come. If you love your wife, you can have her. If you don't, you know what I mean? Love your husband, you can have him. Things that we love come close to us. Amen? Things that we don't like move away from us. That's just the principle of the universe. So some of you have the world. You have Christ. You have the world to love. And maybe you don't have a boyfriend. You're miserable. Like you think that the boyfriend or girlfriend will solve everything. There's so much more. Why are you chasing somebody and then you go smother them with your love? Smother them with your love. There's more. Love your family to the fullest. And God says, you have a capacity bigger than what you think. When God began to speak to me this stuff a little while ago, I was so shocked. I was like, there's two things that I love. I love my church, I love my wife, I love my kids, and I kind of love my job. And God says, there's so much more. I want you to live life to the fullest. Whatever you love, you can enjoy. You can have a happy ending. And the coolest thing is that we're created in the image of God. And God is never bored. And I hate boredom. It's not a good feeling. But when you love, guess what it does? It makes you, it drives you. When you love something, when you're achieving something, when you're spending time with your kids, I mean, it just gives you energy. It makes you, I mean, there's that time spent with your family or your wife or, you know, or friends, nothing compared to the boredom when you don't do anything and miserable and pitiful and just like, ugh. Try finding things you love. If that's boating on the weekends, don't miss church, but Saturday is all yours. Amen. If you love singing, if you love music, don't just put yourself, just say, okay, I'm going to get married and I'm going to forget all those things I used to love. No. All I want is, God, just give me, I don't want anything else, Lord. Don't say that to God. You have a bigger capacity for love than you think. Begin to love passionately, fully. Hallelujah. If you only love those who love you, that's not enough, Jesus said. Unbelievers do that. Jesus says, I want you to love your enemies. I want you to love those things that don't like you, those people who don't like you. There's something in it. There's a clue in there for happiness, for your happiness. In Revelation chapter 11, verse 15, and the seventh angel sounded the trumpet, and there was a great voice in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. God wanted to restore you so you can get the kingdoms that belong to you, so you can submit those kingdoms to Christ. And Christ could submit those kingdoms to God. And at the end, Christ Himself submits to God. 1 Corinthians, I think. Right, Jesse? Hallelujah. No, this is serious. God is not going to take it. He's going to submit it all under your feet. Remember that. The Bible says He's not just going to, He's going to put everything under your feet. And then you're going to give it back to Him and glorify Him. He's not taking it back from Satan. You are. People who love partially do not have happy endings. People who love fully and passionately will experience happy endings. The Bible says God so loved the world that He gave. We're not going to go into this principle. The last thing I want to say today, and this is the last point. If God so loved the world, that means and including you. If God loves you, why don't you love yourself? That's a big one. I see so many people hurting. I have discovered that loving God means loving everything that He loves, including me. A lot of people are walking time bombs because they just hate everything about themselves. And the more you don't like yourself, the more devil says gives you more things not to like about yourself. And then you're walking miserable. If God loves you, why don't you love you? See, when we're hurt, we cannot love others. We cannot give to others. We can only love others if we can love ourselves. Because Bible says, love your neighbor as yourself. You can only love on the level that you love yourself. And if you hate yourself, don't tell me you love people, because you don't. Everything is coming through the prism of pain and suffering. And God says, accept who you are, love yourself, because I love you enough to give my son. And then it says, give of yourself, because that's what love does. Love gives. Love never waits to receive first. Love gives. You can love so much. The depth of love does not have an end to it. It's without the deep. It just goes and goes and forever. So let's bow our heads. Father, we just thank you today for showing us a new level, an ability that we have in ourselves through your Holy Spirit, through salvation, through the gospel, to love. Father, I pray that the Spirit that lives in us, the Holy Spirit, would set us free to love on a new level. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, shall set you free. So today you've revealed to us the secret, the mystery that's been hidden from the world, but has been given to the church. The capacity of love. The capacity that our heart, that is changed by the Holy Spirit, could produce. So love how you love. To love people, to love the world in your love. And not just to say that I love my little church, I love my little family, but that's it. I love my little culture. I love my friends, but that's it. No, Father, we want to love like you. You have no boundaries, Lord. You love all the nations the same. You love all the people, nationalities the same. You love the kingdoms of the world. Your love is great, Lord. Your love is amazing, Father. Fill us with that love so we can love above what unbelievers do, so we can love our enemies, God. We can pray for those who hurt us, so we can even experience the joy of that, just like you did when they crucified you. Thank you for loving us so much, Lord. Thank you for loving us in this capacity. And thank you for creating us in your image. Father, increase the love among friends today. They don't have to have a husband or a wife to experience love and enjoy the benefits of love. There's so much more to love. Help our people understand today. Everybody who hears my voice and your voice today, in the name of Jesus, help husbands to love their wife like Christ loved the church. Big love. You love the church so big. Help us husbands love our wives that way. In just a full measure and in a big way. Not waiting for them to love us or respect us back, but to just give unconditionally. Father, I thank you that you didn't wait till we were perfect to send your son. You loved us messed up. Help us to love in that way. Help us to love people. In Jesus' name. And the church said, amen.